It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. We're going to begin reading with the 29th verse today, Romans chapter 9, verse 29. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check our website out, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That'd be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, that's our website. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study that we can enjoy the Word of God today. Romans chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 29. 9:29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the righteous, to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then on to chapter 10 for just a few verses. Chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, saying, not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What wonderful words of Scripture. Let's begin with the word of prayer before we start today. Father, we do thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come together, to enjoy this time together and studying your precious word. It's wonderful, Father, that we can open up your Bible. We have the opportunity. I thank you, Father, that we can do that. And I hope, Father, that that freedom never leaves this country. It's a sad, sad day, the condition that this land is in. And as we find that more and more people are not attending church, but many times, Father, we know why they've stopped attending is because they're not hearing the word. It's just a social activity anymore, and it is not. It's all about a personal relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, please, that you will just guide and lead us and have us to speak your precious word, and we have an opportunity across the radio that folks can hear your word and recognize that to be a believer in Jesus Christ is more than just saying, I'm a Christian, Being a believer in Jesus Christ is accepting your Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior, recognizing we're a sinner, acknowledging that, and then calling upon your Son, Jesus, for salvation. And He will save us. You save us, Father, through your Son. So please, please, that we can have life and enjoy life. So just guide and lead us, Father, today as we look through your precious word. And I just ask that you'll guide us with your Spirit, that He will teach us your perfect way. Bring folks that are lost to salvation and those that are saved closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture here, we need to recognize that we have a quote from the book of Isaiah. And as we look at this quote, while we find it's Isaiah 1:9, and it says, again, Romans 9:29, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and made like unto Gomorrah. God has miraculously saved a remnant of the nation of Israel. They, until 1948, they did not have a land to call their own. And there are many today that desire to take that land back away from them, or at least wise divide it off, and it is their land. And we, as the United States of America, need to stand with Israel, and we need to speak up and protect Israel. And we need to stand, because we have a God here, and there is no other nation that He has held that seed with. Now, He has kept a seed with His church believers. He has kept a remnant, and we continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people how to be saved, and then feeding them with His precious word. But if it had not been for the Lord of Sabbath, the Scripture calls Him here, our God, if it had not been for our God, there would be no Israel. They would be annihilated as Sodom and Gomorrah was annihilated by the hand of God. And the world hates Israel. We, again, being a Christian nation, we're losing that status because more and more people are walking away from Christ. And when they do that, we can expect the judging hand of God upon us. And so please that you listen and you return, or maybe you just turn to the Lord Jesus for the first time and begin that wonderful walk and enjoy that peace and that joy and that comfort that He has to offer. And it's such a joy to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's such a joy to walk with Him and serve Him. And we need to understand, we need that personal relationship. You must come to the Lord Jesus. And again, if it had not been for the hand of God, the world would have eliminated the nation of Israel. It continues here in verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. Israel received the law. Israel received the plans to the tabernacle. That was given all at the same time. Now, most people are aware that the plans, the law was given upon Mount Sinai. They left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, got to Mount Sinai. God gave the nation of Israel the Ten Commandments, the law, all the law. Moses received it at that time. But he also received, at the same time he received the law, he received a set of plans for a building. It was a tent-like building, and the name of it is the Tabernacle. Eventually it became the Temple. Solomon's Temple is one of them. And it was the Solomon's Temple was built. The general design came from this tent-like building, the Tabernacle. What you need to know, and that is that every time that God sends judgment, And that's what the law brought to the nation of Israel, was judgment and to the world. He also gives grace. He gives salvation. He gives the opportunity of salvation. And that's what we have in the tabernacle, in this building. The brazen altar in the outside of the courtyard, the brazen laver in the courtyard. Then you come into the first room of the tabernacle, the tent-like building, and it's 30 foot long, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall. And inside there we have the table of showbread, the incense altar, and the lampstand. And then you go one step further into the next room. There's only two rooms. This is only 15 by 15 by 15. But in there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And in there we find that is where, when this was built, that's where God dwelt. He came down to earth to dwell. And so it was the way that God and man could meet. And that was done through the process and through a man of the high priest. And so as that high priest would once a year go into that Holy of Holies, into that room's only time, and the only time he could go in there was if and when he brought the blood, and that was on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, he would take the blood from a goat, and he would go in and sprinkle seven times, because, see, there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And so it represented the Lord Jesus Christ that was going to come to the cross. And so they look forward by faith. When they would bring their offerings, they would look forward by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going to die on the cross, he's going to save my sin. And I believe that. Now, the nation of Israel was given this. So they were given salvation, the means of salvation, by faith. They were also given the law, which condemned and killed. They set out to ignore the opportunity. They would continue to bring their offerings and sacrifices, but they forgot what it meant. They forgot that it was by faith that there's going to be a Messiah to come, and the Messiah is going to save us. They forgot that, and so they set out to keep the law. Well, they couldn't. The law is perfect, but they couldn't keep it. So instead of the law saving them, the law condemns them and condemns us as well. And so we find that here, that what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, this was the righteousness of the law, because the law could not, the law's perfect, but you can't keep it. So we're still lost, we're still condemned. Having attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. You see, the Gentiles was turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were given the opportunity of salvation. They believed the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that 30 years before this, the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross. He finished the law. And we find that as we look through these words here, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Why didn't they attain the law of righteousness as the Gentiles did? Because they did not walk by faith. It was not all the rules and the regulations that they had that you must keep. It wasn't that. It was knowing that when I bring that offering, bring that sacrifice, it represented something, and it represented the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to come to save me. That's what it represented. But they missed that. And so they held on to their rules and regulations. We have to keep this, and when we keep this, then we're saved. Does that sound like some churches today? It sure does. They miss Jesus. So did Israel. Israel missed the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They missed him. They did not acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. He came, all the prophecy that was fulfilled when Jesus was born of the Virgin, when he lived, when he died on the cross, all that was prophesied. They knew all that, but they ignored all that, and they held on to their laws, hoping that that would save them. But it didn't. The Gentiles, on the other hand, Look to the cross of Calvary. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed him that he died on the cross for their sins, and so it was accounted to them for righteousness. But not for Israel, because Israel did not walk by faith. They walked by sight. What they were doing, what they were bringing, that's what they were depending on. And we can't do that. Now, we have the opportunity today, as they did here in the book of Romans, to look back to the cross. But Israel, for so many years, was looking forward to the cross, that when the cross came and Jesus died on the cross, the very Savior, everything that all those offerings and sacrifices represented, they missed it. All the things that they were doing to remind them that there's a Messiah coming. And I don't do this because I'm bound by a law to do it. I do it because by faith, this represents Jesus. And I'm going to do it till Jesus comes. It's kind of like our Lord's Supper. You know, we have the Lord's Supper once a month. And it's to remember. And we're going to remember till he comes. Well, they were supposed to do this with these offerings and sacrifices. They were to do that and repeat it every year. They would do it many times for the forgiveness of their sins. They would give many different offerings. But it was all by the law, but they were to believe by faith that this represented the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And instead of that, they missed it. They got hung up on all the rules and the laws. And many, many places, many churches do that today. They're hung up on baptism. They're hung up on many of the laws. And they miss that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. And you need to come by to him and believe that. Come by faith. We need to do that. And so Israel missed it. The Gentiles picked it up. And they are walking by faith, even the righteousness which is of faith, in verse 30. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained the law of righteousness. Why not? This is in verse 31. Because, wherefore, in verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They missed Jesus. He's the solid rock. They stumbled at the stumbling stone, as its scripture says. As is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, we've got some verses of scripture here that we're going to take a look at. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a beautiful verses of scripture. So you see it starts at the beginning there in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Many people miss it. Many people are missing it today, that sweet, precious, free gift of salvation, this stumbling block. We're going to look at a couple other verses of scripture here. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What a wonderful promise. Psalms 118:22. Psalms 118:22. I hope that you're able to look these verses up with me and see them. Psalms 118, verse 22, The stone which the builder refuses is become the headstone of the corner. This is the stumbling stone. This is what the Israel is stumbling over. They have rejected this precious gift. And to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah 8, 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for the gin and for the snare in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That wasn't its purpose. But God knew that they would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They was looking not for a man that was humble, a man that was born of into a carpenter's family, again, virgin born through Mary, but to a carpenter's family. The place that he was born was not right. Nothing was right as far as what man wanted. It was everything that the Word of God said would be. But it wasn't what man wanted. Man wanted a king to help them to come in and rule and reign and take the Roman rule away from them. That's what they wanted. They don't realize that Roman rule was nothing in comparison with the rule that Satan has over every individual to this day and always has. The God of this world, Satan, is your ruler. He is ruling you and leading you, and he is leading you right into hell. He's taking you right to the place of destruction, and it's going to be an eternal destruction. It doesn't just end when you die. It continues forever and ever and ever. And that devil's lying to you. That devil's deceiving you. You need to come by faith to Jesus, and Jesus alone, and trust in him. That's what this is all about. Israel missed it, the Gentiles caught it. But as we've seen back, even to the Gentiles, many Gentiles reject the cross, reject the Lord Jesus. They rejected Christ. Once again, verse 33 of Romans 9, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's exactly right. As we look back now, at this ninth chapter, we need to see that man, you know, cannot save himself. We've learned that from this ninth chapter. One said that the moral inability does not relieve from responsibility. And so we need to trust in Jesus. We cannot do that on our own. The Spirit of God brings us to that door, and then we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to trust in the Lord Jesus. Sinners' inability to do God's will is a result of sin abiding within through the nature that we inherited from Adam. We have an enmity between God and natural man. The world is filled with sin. The world is filled with confusion. The wickedness is here, but God provided a way. He provided a substitute, and that substitute is the Lord Jesus. That's what we've learned in this ninth chapter. Don't let this precious word go away without believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Don't reject the gospel. Don't let it be a stumbling stone. Don't let it be confusing to you. If you'll just come by faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the plea that Paul has for these Jews. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, that kind of destroys a universal salvation theory, doesn't it? Why would Paul pray for them to be saved if everyone is saved? It's not. There's a decision that you need to make, a personal decision. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. We're back to many, many churches today. They have a zeal for God, but they lack the knowledge. Now, what are they missing? They're missing one person. That's Jesus. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. Have you called upon the Lord Jesus? Has the Spirit of God convicted your heart of your sin? And He'll do that if you go to His Word and you believe that Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm lost. You died for me. I believe that. I trust in you. And call upon Him. Confess His name. Call upon Him to come into your heart. Say, please save me. Come into my heart and save me. Look at verse 3 here of chapter 10. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the world today, but worse than that, that's the church today. The church today has missed the person, Jesus Christ. They've missed Him. As the Jews missed Him, they've went about their own works and building up their own level of righteousness. They've missed Him. And so today, we need to recognize that as Israel, so has the organized church, the organized religion. They have missed the person of Jesus Christ. I ask that you take a look. Look to yourself. Look to your church. Do they preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Do they tell you how to be saved? If they don't, and I've asked this before, go to your preacher. Go to your preacher. Say, why don't you tell me about this Jesus? Why don't you tell me about how God came to earth? Well, we talk about that. Why don't you tell me that I must have a personal relationship with Him and trust in Him and call upon Him for salvation? Why don't you tell me that? And in most cases, they say, well, we talk about it, but we don't believe in that personal commitment. If you don't believe in the precious shed blood of Jesus and you don't believe in a personal commitment with Christ, you have no salvation. And so at that point in time, if your preacher or your reverend or whatever you want to call him tells you those things, I ask you that you find a church that does. Find a church that speaks the truth and tells you about the Lord Jesus and then brings you to helps you come to the Lord Jesus, that you will see the need of salvation, you'll call upon Him, and then you'll begin to grow. You'll begin to understand. But please that you do not miss that. And once again here in verse 2 of chapter 10, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, salvation through the Lord Jesus, Him only, it's by grace, not works, are going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Please, please, my dear friend, trust in Jesus today. What are you going to do about Jesus?